Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. A day after Netflix scored the streaming rights to Seinfeld, Comcast announced plans to roll out its own streaming service with classic NBC shows and new programming as well. We'll check in with the Journal's entertainment reporter for details, including what it's going to cost you, in a moment. First, some money and market news you should know. Remember the government shutdown last winter? It and the previous two shutdowns cost taxpayers about $4 billion. A bipartisan Senate committee ran the numbers and determined that most of it was for back pay for furloughed federal workers. The rest was for extra administrative work and late fees on interest payments. The deadline to fund the government is on September the 30th. And feminine care products manufacturer Kimberly-Clark hopes to capitalize on consumers' growing interest in natural products and sustainability. It has invested $25 million in startup Thinks, which makes reusable period underwear. Thinks launched in 2015 with $50 million in sales last year. Currently, a pair of Thinks reusable underwear sells for about $35 each. With Kimberly-Clark's investment, Thinks says that prices could come down to about $17 and give it access to more retailers like Target and Walmart. A new streaming service is coming, and it's bringing a hefty slate of star power. Comcast NBC Universal Division will launch Peacock, named for the network's logo, in April. It's the latest in a crowded field with one common goal: give Netflix a good fight. Wall Street Journal entertainment reporter Joe Flint joins us from Los Angeles with more. So, Joe, Peacock will have a mix of original and classic movies and TV shows. Will they only be NBC shows?
Well, no, actually they won't. In terms of the classic shows you mentioned, they have acquired other shows that weren't on NBC, such as Everybody Loves Raymond, which of course aired on CBS for a lot of years. They are looking to create a very broad service, and you know, they want to have shows primarily, of course, they'll be NBC shows. Those are the easiest ones for them to go out and get the rights to and acquire. But I don't think they want to limit themselves to that when it comes to the reruns, because as crazy as it sounds, having a good library of reruns and classic TV shows that have aged well is very important for all these platforms.
And there'll be reboots of popular NBC shows from a few decades ago as well.
We are going to get a new Saved by the Bell and Punky Brewster. I know a lot of people have been waiting for that one. And also a reboot of Battlestar Galactica. Which, you know, I think we were trying to figure this out earlier today, me and some of my colleagues, but we think this is the third Battlestar Galactica show. Not entirely sure, but either way, the sci-fi shows have big core audiences. And, you know, when you think about CBS All Access, their streaming service, what was the first big show they did, first original show? A Star Trek series. So, you know, sci-fi IP is very valuable. And if that can bring in some people to subscribe to the NBC service, I think it's a good bet.
Now, in terms of actors and directors and producers, what sort of A-list celebrities have signed on?
Not so bad, actually. Alec Baldwin and Kristen Slater are going to co-star in a series called Dr. Death, which is based on a true crime podcast. Demi Moore has signed up to do Brave New World, you know, based on that novel. They have a lot of the NBC talent is agreeing to make new content for the platform, including the late night stars Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers. They're going to oversee some new shows. Lorne Michaels, of course, the guru of all things Saturday Night Live, is going to work on a show that's, you know, basically sort of a behind the scenes of Saturday Night Live, how the sausage gets made there type show. Mike Schur, who's one of their most prolific and successful producers, who, you know, has worked on The Office and most recently The Good Place, he's making a new show for the streaming service starring Ed Helms. So, you know, they've been bringing in a lot of talent, and I expect we'll see more as they get closer to a launch next spring.
You know, you mentioned NBC spending to reacquire the streaming rights to some of its shows. They've been going deep into their pockets to get the rights to these shows.
Well, there is a big bidding war now for a lot of this older content. And for NBC, you know, The Office, which has been on Netflix for many years and very popular there, getting The Office for their own streaming service was, you know, seen as very important for them. So, yeah, they shelled out around $500 million for a five-year deal for the exclusive streaming rights to The Office. And Netflix, earlier this week, did a deal to get Seinfeld streaming rights globally. Seinfeld had been on Hulu, and now Netflix will have it, and they spent a similar amount. We've seen Warner Brothers with their service HBO Max spend heavily on The Big Bang Theory and Friends, both of those deals, you know, several hundred million dollars each. So there's a gold mine out there for some of these older TV shows.
You know, one by one, the major content providers have launched or plan to launch streaming services. This is like a sea change compared to just a couple of years ago.
It's interesting. Part of it is, of course, the success Netflix has had and how fast they've grown. And for a while, the Walt Disney companies and the Warner Brothers and the NBC Universals, they were very content to sell a lot of their shows to Netflix. They made original shows for Netflix. It was a beneficial relationship. But as Netflix grows and grows and takes away viewers from other platforms, these guys decided, hey, we need to stop being so friendly with these guys and create our own platforms and build our own direct-to-consumer relationships. And that's what we see now. And you know, maybe 5 or 10 years from now, there'll be a weaning of this. And we haven't even talked about Apple, which is, of course, getting into this game as well. With, you know, they're going to launch in November with, you know, a handful of original shows. They're not spending, as of yet, big money for, you know, vintage TV shows or library fare. They're banking on new original shows with big stars and big budgets to bring people in.
You know, a lot of streaming services exist and many are to come. It seems like NBC, given its stature in the industry, it seems like they're a little late coming to this game.
They are a little late. I mean, they will certainly be launching later than the others, as will HBO Max. One of the reasons that NBC, in my opinion, is late is they're owned, as you mentioned, they're owned by Comcast. And Comcast, of course, is a huge cable operator, 21.5 million subscribers in the United States. So they have a tricky balancing act here. Comcast wants to be in the streaming game, of course. They want to have direct-to-consumer relationships and platforms, but they don't want to alienate or undercut their own business model. So it's complicated for them. That's why this service they're launching, it's actually going to be free for Comcast subscribers. And I think, you know, ultimately they'll want to make it possible to have other people who subscribe to other cable services get it for free as well. I subscribe to Spectrum, which out in Los Angeles. And in theory, if they're successful, they'll work out some sort of deal with Spectrum where I will be able to sign up as a cable subscriber and get access to Peacock, you know, the name of the NBC service.
Are all these companies still trying to figure out how much money people are willing to spend and what kind of packages they want to take on, and really coming down to what are the viewers looking for?
Well, viewers are always looking to spend less and get the most for their money, and that's the funny thing. Everyone's always looked at this world as of streaming as a way to break up the traditional cable bundle, as we call it, and yet a new bundle is being created. I mean, you don't have to subscribe to all these things, but, you know, if you love Netflix original shows, you're going to want to have Netflix, and then you might want some stuff from Disney, especially if you have a family. And then there's, you know, and then there's NBC, and maybe you want, you know, some stuff from there as well. Before you know it, your streaming bill may be just as big as your cable bill.
And beyond price, there's a streaming question of just how much is too much. You know, it's been well documented in the Wall Street Journal by our personal tech team that people can feel like they're drowning and having just too many services, too many apps on their device.
Well, certainly too many apps on their device, too much money going out of their bank account. We don't even see it now because, of course, we set up these accounts with these companies that just zoop, take the money right out for us there. Yeah, I think at some point there will be this sort of reckoning of how much is too much. Can the market support all these services? I mean, some of them are pretty cheap. I mean, Disney is starting out with $6.99. Apple is $4.99 a month. NBC will probably be under $10. I'd be willing to bet that they will be somewhere between that $5 and $7 range. So, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, can they keep these things reasonably priced enough that people will subscribe to them? That'll be the big question.
All right. And that's Wall Street Journal entertainment reporter Joe Flint joining us from Los Angeles. Joe, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.